to me, probably one of the biggest impacts that we can make with the least amount of time is to read God's Word in our life. I'll talk more about running at the end of the sermon, but me and Pastor Jimmy try to think that we run. And that, if you're going to exercise, the biggest impact that you can do is running. It works more muscle groups. It burns off more calories than any other single exercise. The only thing that even comes close to rivaling that is swimming. You know, but you can't swim as long as you can run. You know, and if you get tired when you run, you can walk. If you get tired while you're swimming, you drown. So, you know, in the end, running is better. But the same thing is true in the Christian life, that for the amount of time that you spend in God's Word, it can make a huge impact in your life. And that you can read through the Bible in a year just by spending 15 to 20 minutes a day. If you're a really slow reader, you struggle reading, even 30 minutes a day, you can read through the Bible in a year. In fact, if you just read 4 chapters a day, and you do that 6 days a week, you can read through the Bible in a year. You can read 3 chapters a day, every day of the week, and read through the Bible in a year. 88 verses, the same thing. You can read through 88 verses every day, read through the Bible in a year. So what I want to encourage and motivate all of you to do is that this year, that you'll read through your Bible. Now, I'm not going to come to your house and check your list. I'm not going to come and ask you, but throughout the year, I'll pass out these lists. This goes to the middle of February. And what I'll do is, as we get close to the next list, I'll just ask, you know, does anybody have any testimony about what they've read? Or is reading through the Bible, is it affecting your life at all? And if you get way behind in the middle of the year, and you want to just start again, or you know where we're at, and stay with the rest of the group, or stay with the rest of the church, that's fine too. But what I want you to do is get into a habit of every day reading your Bible. To every day read a portion of Scripture. And to read enough where it makes a difference. Not just read a verse and put it down. Not just, you know, read a little passage and put it down. Although, if that's all you do, and that's more than what you did before, that's good. I don't want you to stop reading. But what I want you to do is to commit to read through the Bible in a year. And if you've done that before, I want you to try to do it again. Alright, to read through the Bible in a year. Is that the only way to read the Bible? No, it's not. Is that the only way to study the Bible? Is that the only way God speaks with us or works through us? It doesn't necessarily have to be that we have to read through the Bible in a year. But I want you to understand that God's Word is important. And that that is how God speaks to us. And we claim to be God's children. We claim to be servants of God. And yet so often, we never talk with Him. We never communicate with Him. We never read what God is trying to say to us. Now, I was printing out these and found out something on my printer today that I'm out of paper at home, so I have good copies. And then I went to the mall and found out that they are also out of paper at the mall. And so I have bad copies that were given to me for free because the guy felt pity on us. And he said, these copies are so bad, you can just have them for free. All right, that was my third place I stopped at today. But I have 18 good copies. Now, I would like you teenagers to take some of these bad copies. I'll bring you, these are still good, you can still use them. I'll bring you good copies Friday night. And I'll pass them out then Friday night for you teens that come up Friday night. So, if you could, Dylan, if you could pass the good copies out to the adults, and then start into the teens, and then for everybody else, pass out the bad copies. I'll replace the bad copies on Friday, alright? Just hang on to your bad copies. You can still read them. They just don't look as nice. Now this copy goes through close to the end of February. Of course, today is already the 6th of January. But you can start. Yes, only give them to people that know how to read, Dylan. But you can start on the 1st, and you can have a couple of days you can catch up, or you can do 2 days. But I understand. I know they break up some of these chapters, but this runs roughly to about 88 verses a day. That's not a lot. Sometimes it's a little bit more the way they break it up. Sometimes it's a little bit less. I think sometimes it's only about 70 verses. Other times it's close to 90 verses. But it runs around 88 verses a day on average. It's easy to do. It's not something that's hard. I watch more television, I'm ashamed to say, more television on average than I do spending time reading God's Word. That's a shame on me. But if I just took off the time that I watch television, I could double the time that I spend reading God's Word. And it takes some work. It takes concentration. It takes some focus. And I know it's not easy. It does take time. Some of you, it may take you a half hour. Some of you, only 15 minutes. But I want you to commit this year. And we'll follow up each month as we go into the next month. I'll print out the next sheet, pass those out. But I want you to commit that you'll read through the first 31 days over the next month. All right? And then we'll go on to the next month. Okay? So I'm not asking you to run a marathon tomorrow. I'm asking you just to run a little bit today. And then tomorrow. And then the next day. And so by the end of the year, we'll have read through the Bible in a year. And that brings us to our main point. If you haven't figured it out tonight, we must read God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 119. We must read God's Word. I want you to understand that if all of us read through God's Word this year, that this will make a difference in our church. This will make a difference in our lives, not just as a church, as a group, but also in our lives individually. And there's some reasons why it's important to read God's Word. I know it's important to pray, it's important to come to church, but I want you to understand, if you just come to church once a week or twice a week, and that's all you do, that's not enough for you as a Christian. You must read God's Word. Every day you should be spending time in God's Word. I hope this schedule helps you out. It has a little portion of the New Testament, a little portion of the Old Testament, and then it takes you to the book of Psalms and in through the Proverbs, those books of poetry. And that's how I break up my Bible reading also. Some out of the Old Testament, some out of the New Testament, and then read through the books of poetry, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. And that helps break up the Bible reading. So I hope that this schedule helps you out. This isn't the only Bible reading schedule out there. If you already have a Bible reading schedule that you use, you can. You know, I'm not asking you to switch Bible reading schedules. But if you don't, and I think probably most of us don't have one, stick with this Bible reading schedule. Commit to read it. I understand it takes some diligence, it takes some practice to get used to that, but spend time every day in God's Word. Take 20 minutes a day, as I say. If you have access to the Internet, there's also an interesting Bible reading schedule on a website called Biblica, B-I-B-L-I-C-A, Biblica.com. And they have, you can choose which version you have, and of course we use the King James Version here. This version here is also the King James Version on this schedule. So, but you can also pull it up online, the actual passages of the Bible. In fact, you can also have them sent to your cell phone, if your cell phone has that ability, where each day you can have it sent to your cell phone on that site for free, the Bible passage that you're supposed to read. So all that time you spend texting each other and sending messages back and forth and calling, I know some of you spend large amounts of time on the phone, you can spend that time also reading God's Word as you sit riding to work or riding to school or sitting somewhere waiting for someone to pick you up or waiting for things. You can read the Bible right off your phone if your phone has that ability. But all that to say this, that it's important for us to read through God's Word. I think it's extremely important. In fact, as a private individual, I think it's the most important thing that you can do in your walk with God. Because I think if you don't read your Bible and yet you still pray every day, then I think it takes away from your prayer life. If you don't read your Bible and you go to church, I think it takes away from the way you worship God at church. I think if you go out and you witness to other people about Jesus Christ, and yet you don't read your Bible, it takes away from your ability to witness. I think this is the foundation. I think this is the core strength that we have as a Christian, is a daily spending time in God's Word. And I can testify myself, it's not easy to do. Sometimes it's difficult to take that time. So many things come into our life. So many distractions come into our life. And it seems like even as I sit down to read my Bible, that seems like when the most distractions happen. You know, my phone rings, something happens, somebody calls, somebody passes by, my kids need help with something. It can be anything. It can be important things that happen as I'm sitting down to read my Bible. And it takes time to set that time aside. And sometimes I have to go back again and try to read again, sometimes three or four times throughout the day. So make a commitment starting today that you'll read through your Bible. You can start out on the make this your day one, even though this is the sixth, or you can try to catch up, however you want to do it, but commit to read through day 31, through these next 31 days. So sometime in the beginning of February, I'll pass out the next schedule, and we'll just take some testimonies. How many of you have done it? Has anybody here tried it? Has it made a difference in your daily life? Has it affected the way that you live your life? Has it helped you? Has it hurt you? Has it been a struggle? And we'll take some testimonies, and hopefully that'll encourage each other to keep reading through the Bible. But the main reason that we do that, one of the main reasons, there's going to be three reasons we talk about tonight, that is that it keeps us from sin. That it keeps us from sin. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 119, look at verse 11 of Psalm 119. This is a famous verse. Many of us have already memorized this verse. David's talking about God's Word all through Psalm 119. He says this, "Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Talking about God, how that he won't sin against God because he's hid God's Word in his heart. Now, it's difficult for me to memorize verses, but I want you to understand that as I read God's Word, that keeps me from sin. Sometimes that gives me the strength to resist temptation. Sometimes it keeps me from going to places that I know that I'll be tempted. Sometimes it keeps me when I'm confronted with a strong temptation that I can resist that temptation better. That I can resist that temptation through the strength that I've received by reading God's Word every day. It's not easy to resist sin in our lives. But I want you to understand that reading God's Word each day can keep us from sin. Do you understand the power that God's Word has? Can you imagine if I said, hey, you can stay away from sin just by reading God's Word? You know what that should do to us? That should make us desire to read God's Word. It should make us want to read God's Word. That we have the power to keep ourselves from sin. We have the power to overcome temptation as we read God's Word each day. And David says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." There's the famous story of the Titanic. Probably many of you know that story. On the 14th of April, 1912, the Titanic hit an iceberg. 15,000 out of the over 2,200 people died on the Titanic. In fact, it's one of the deadliest peacetime ship disasters in history. So many people died. Part of the reason was they didn't have enough lifeboats. Part of the reason was that when the lifeboats were launched, people didn't believe the ship was actually going down. They preferred to stay on the ship thinking that rescue was going to come. Some of the lifeboats went away less than half full because they didn't believe the ship was actually sinking. The historian that I was reading today said this, "The Titanic was designed by the most experienced engineers of their time, using some of the most advanced technology available at the time. But there are many problems with the Titanic. Some of it was the steel plating was too brittle. The rivets were too brittle and they popped off instead of holding. Those plates cracked and buckled instead of bending. All these different problems that went on. Another problem was the rudder was too small to make an emergency maneuver. So when they actually saw the iceberg there, they couldn't maneuver fast enough. And then one of the last problems was the ship was going too fast to avoid the collision. They believed the speed that they were going was safe because usually when they would encounter an iceberg, you could see the waves breaking along the side of an iceberg. And it would show up at nighttime. But the sea was so calm that night that they didn't see those waves, and so they didn't see the iceberg in time. Now, just a few years after the Titanic sunk, they had an invention called radar that they began to use. And radar, as you know, can look out into the darkness. Radar sends out radio waves and reflects those radio waves back. And it actually sends a picture back of what's out in the dark. And about 20 years after the Titanic sunk, radar was being used on ships so they could find ships that were, or find things like other ships, icebergs that were out there. You know what radar does? Well, no matter how dark it is, no matter how even stormy it is, modern radar that they use today, that almost every ship carries that goes on the ocean, modern radar can see the disasters that could happen and give you the time to avoid those disasters. It sees ahead of you things you can't see. It sees things that could destroy your life, could destroy your ship, and gives you the chance to avoid them. You know that the Bible is a spiritual radar for our lives. As we read God's Word, we know that we're not supposed to be promiscuous and get involved in sexual sin outside of marriage. That we're not supposed to be involved in drunkenness. We're not supposed to be involved in things that can destroy our life. How do we know those things? Well, we have it in God's Word. That God's Word is a spiritual radar for our life. It can keep us from sin. It can help us resist those temptations. It can also show us what to avoid. And it can show us how we can steer our life away from sin. How we can get away from the things that can destroy our lives. I want you to understand that reading the Bible is very important. But not only does it keep us from sin, not only is the Word of God our spiritual radar, but it also, secondly, gives us God's wisdom. So it keeps us from sin, keeps us from destroying our lives, but at the same time it gives us God's wisdom. It allows us, instead of just staying safe, it allows us to do good things. It allows us to use the wisdom of God to do good things. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 119, look it over at verse 105. Another famous verse. David says in verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I want you to understand that we need God's wisdom. It's not just preventing disasters as a spiritual radar, but it also steers us in the right direction. You understand that if you had great radar on your ship and your ship just sat there in the middle of the ocean, you wouldn't get anything accomplished. Yes, you could avoid anything coming at you. You could steer in a circle and never have any accidents if you had a great radar. But you understand that ships have a purpose. That's to carry freight. They have jobs that they're supposed to do. Carry people. Carry things. In fact, most of the things that we get here in Trinidad are brought here on ships. Ships have purpose. They're supposed to do things. You understand that we as Christians, we also have a purpose. It's not just to go in a circle and avoid disasters. It's not just to go and stay out of sin. But it's also to do something for Jesus Christ. It's also to do good things. To help people that are around us. And God's Word gives us the wisdom to know who to help, when to help them, how to help them, when to share Jesus Christ, who to share Jesus Christ with, how to share Jesus Christ. All those things come from the Word of God. It's a privilege for us to be here in a church where we try to take everything out of the Word of God. And we try to direct our church through the things that are in the Word of God. That's a privilege to be involved in a church like this church is. Of course, sometimes we're human. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we do things that probably aren't the best things to do. But you understand that we try to do things the way God's Word leads us. And I want you to understand that staying in God's Word on a daily basis will give us the wisdom, not just to avoid sin, but also to do good. I brought this flashlight tonight. I have an uncle in the States who likes to explore caves. And near his house, there's a cave that's listed, and there's some listing of caves. I'm not really great at that, but there's a listing of caves, and that cave is in there. And I want you to understand that once you get into a cave, it doesn't take long before you can't see anything. You can't see your hand in front of your face. It's pitch black. Everything is dark. You have to have a flashlight, not just so you can get in and out of the cave, but it really protects you because there's low rocks. You have to wear a helmet. In this cave, he had all the gear, the helmet. There's like a special overhaul thing that you put on so you don't get all scratched up sliding down rocks and things, and brought rope and things to get into the cave. That's a pretty interesting experience. And he took me there just before I came to Trinidad. I was up at my grandparents' house, and he took me into that cave. And I had this flashlight with me. Now, this is a pretty bright flashlight. It shows, I won't shine anybody's eyes, you know, but it shows what's in the dark. And that's what God's Word is like. Not only is it our spiritual radar, but it's our spiritual flashlight. You have to understand that spiritually we're surrounded by darkness. That spiritually we're in a dark area. Now, it may not seem that way all the time, but as we spend time in God's Word is our light. It shows us where to go. God's Word is our radar. It keeps us from disasters. But there's also a final thing. God's Word is also our power. It empowers us to serve. That God's Word gives us the power that we need to serve. Look at Psalm 119, verse 41. We'll read 8 verses here. David says this, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Those verses right there share a little bit out of David's heart, that he understood that the Word of God empowered him to share Jesus Christ. That the Word of God gave him the strength that he needed and the backing and the support that he needed to share Christ with others. You know, and that's really our purpose as a Christian. That's why God keeps us here. It would be much better for me that as soon as I had gotten saved, if God would take me to heaven. I would enjoy that a lot better sometimes than going through the struggles here in life. But so why does God keep us here? He keeps us here to be a salt. He keeps us here to share Him with a world that doesn't understand. He keeps us here to share Christ with those around us. And the Word of God empowers us to do that. I want to share with you some things. A little bit about running. Paul in the New Testament talks about the Christian life as a marathon, the Christian life as a race. Now, I've never run a marathon. I want to run a marathon eventually, but the men's marathon times are just over 2 hours. Listen to this. The record right now is 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 59 seconds, set by the Ethiopian Haile Gebrselassie. He's the fastest marathoner right now. In fact, he's still racing today. That's less, just a little bit less than 6.5 minute average per mile. That's pretty fast. And that's over a distance of 26.2 miles. So maybe you can run a 6 minute mile, but you can't do it over 26 miles, all right? Now, I believe my fastest mile I've ever run was slightly over a 7 minute mile. I can't sustain that, you know, 2 miles back to back right now, okay? It takes practice, it takes training. Now, I've been thinking about running a marathon for a while, and I'm starting to look at running a marathon when I go back to the States in a year and a half. So I've begun to look and research some things on marathons, and I've realized that, you know what, where I'm at now, I'm not going to do well in a marathon, okay? I have to add some additional training. I have to be more careful with what I eat. I have to be more careful of how I exercise and what I exercise. I have to be careful of how I live and take care of my body better than what I do right now. And you understand that to run a marathon, if I was going to say, hey, there's a marathon tomorrow, how many of you guys want to run a marathon? All right, they're absolutely. All right? And everybody here raised their hand. You know that there's probably very few of us that would be able to finish the marathon. You know why? Because we haven't trained properly. Or maybe we're starting to get old and we need to work on different things differently. Or we don't eat the right way. Or maybe we've drank too much Chubbies over the last few weeks, you know, and we have all that soda or whatever in our system. Okay? We have to take care of our bodies to run a marathon. You can't just decide to run a marathon, go out the next day and run it. It takes training. It takes practice. It takes being careful. It takes being careful what goes into your body to be able to run a marathon. Now, think about that with the Christian life. Now, as I look forward to that marathon in a year and a half, my goal is to try to run 9 minute miles. That'll take me about 4 hours to run the marathon. Okay, that's 2 hours longer than the record. So don't look for my name on TV, you know, Pastor Rick setting a new record in the marathon, because you're not going to see it, all right? So my goal is to finish the marathon. That's my goal. And to keep running through the whole marathon, all right? Not finish in a wheelchair or an ambulance, you know, going to the hospital. But to finish the marathon, all right, running. That's my goal. And you understand that Paul equates the Christian life to a marathon. And our goal as Christians is to finish our Christian life. That when we come to the end of our life, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 80 years from now, wherever the end of our life may be, wherever God calls us home, that we finish it well, that we end our life still running, that we finish our race still going forward, still running the race, that marathon of the Christian life. And here in Bible reading, this little chart, it may seem like a small piece of paper, but you understand that this is what we put into our spiritual body. This is the training that we use to finish that marathon. This is the good water, the good food that goes into our bodies, the vitamins, the things that we need for our spiritual bodies to be able to finish our race. It's this. It's every day. I can't just go out tomorrow and run a marathon. I have to put in hours of work. I have to make sure what goes into my body is the right thing. I have to take care of myself in the proper way. You understand, as a Christian, we have to be careful what goes into our body also. We have to make sure that every day we're taking care of what goes in. We're taking care of how we train, how we work our body, how we exercise our spiritual body. This will help us finish the spiritual marathon when God calls us home.